I think we should probably start now. I'll be chairing the meeting until Patrick arrives. We'll start with apologies.
To the chair, Councillor Brian Quinn.
We've got apologies from Marie Ward and Eddie Curtis.
Councillor Ryan has withdrawn his motion. We can do with it now or later, but we'd need a proposer and a seconder to have it taken off the agenda. All right. Declarations of interest? All right. Action sheet. It's quite a long action sheet. I'll just do it page by page. I assume your pages are the same as mine. First page. Second page. Third page. Fourth. Fifth. Six. Seven. And eight.
Chair. With your indulgence, on page five, in relation to the Centfield Community Centre, any further updates since the last meeting?
Centfield, do we have an update on Centfield Community Centre?
I'm not dealing with this one directly, but my understanding is that there have been the business cases are in development, and there have been meetings with the various groups out in Sainfield. Our officers are dealing with the hockey club to start preparing the plans for that, and at the same time the business cases for the Belfast Road site, as this committee instructed, are being drawn up for future consideration. So it's progressing, and at this point that's as much as I can tell you.
Terry, I know there's 4 points, two of them are actioned and two ongoing. Is it Sainfield again?
Certainly at the last meeting, Councillor Burgess, I know Michael Lipset, he's dealing with it directly, Michael had said that he didn't think that would be ready now for September, given that we were asked to go away and do up more detailed business cases. So he had indicated at the last meeting that it wouldn't be ready for the September season to start.
We put it down as a query to be followed up by the relevant staff.
You can do that, bring that back to you, Councillor. Yeah.
Yeah. Very.
Chair, on the same point, on a positive note, I have seen their plan application has been submitted for the hockey pitch in that, and hopefully that will come very, very quick to the planning committee to get it expedited, where we can then move forward on the hockey pitch. But I think we need to get the planning permission in place first. So the sooner that happens, the better. But it is in the system now, so it is. So hopefully, planners will not be a problem, and they can rubber stamp it when it comes to one of their meetings.
All right. I don't think we need a proposer or a seconder for that. We just note it and move on.
Sure.
Okay. So I think we're into local development plan statement of community involvement. Yes. Is it based on a report from the planner, I believe?
Yes, we've got Michael here to present it.
Okay, yes, Chair, thanks very much. I'm just here this evening to give a brief update on where we are with the Statement of Community Involvement. Members will recall that the draft Statement of Community Involvement was presented to and agreed by this committee back on the 19th of January this year, and was subsequently ratified by Council on the 6th of February. Since then, a four-week public consultation on the SIA commenced on the 8th of March, and a public notice was placed in the local press in four local newspapers for 2 weeks. As well as that, the SCI was published on the Council website for viewing and downloading. The Council received a total of 3 representations from the general public during the public consultation exercise. The Planning Department also sent a copy of the Statement of Community Involvement to the Department for Infrastructure for its consideration. The Department for Infrastructure responded with a number of comments and recommendations. The Planning Department has now considered all the comments that it's received and has made a number of changes to the draft statement following this consideration. These are outlined in the Community Consultation Report. The finalised draft of the SCI is on page 11 of the agenda, and the Community Consultation Report follows on page 58. The Consultation Report is divided into 3 parts. The first part lists the public responses. 2 of these were of a very general nature and didn't actually relate specifically to the statement of community involvement. The Planning Department has reviewed these and has outlined the response and corresponding action within the action plan. The third response identified particular sections within the SCI, and each of these are addressed in turn within the consultation report. Finally, part 3 highlighted changes that were made to the statement of community involvement following further consideration and review by the planning department. There's 2 key issues in terms of progressing the SCI and the local development plan from this point. The finalised draft of the statement of community involvement must be approved by resolution of the council and then submitted to the Department for Infrastructure for its approval. And secondly, in relation to the progressing the local development plan, the council has a requirement to have its SCI in place before it can formally publish its first local development plan document, which would be the preferred options paper. In terms of recommendations, members are asked to note the content of the report and the outcome of the public consultation exercise, and the committee is asked to agree the following: the amendments to the draft SCI as per the consultation report, and secondly, the submission of the finalised draft of the statement of community involvement to the Department for Infrastructure for its agreement. Thank you.
Before progressing to the recommendations, does anyone have any input to the document itself? I do have one point myself, arising from meetings we had about this last year.
Yes, certainly, sir.
If you recall, in Down District, we had, in the run-up to the preparation for the local development plan, a policy of having a master plan for all major areas and a village plan for all villages. I think the point was made on a number of occasions that this needed to be the foundation point for community consultation, and I'm not sure what the situation was in Miriam One. In going through the document, I haven't actually seen references to the village plans or the master plans as a reference point for building up a community consultation.
Yeah, the document, the purpose of the document is outline the process in terms of planning, in terms of the local development plan, in terms of the development management, and in terms of enforcement of planning. The village plans and master plans lie outside the remit of the planning department and are undertaken separately. So this particular statement of community involvement is solely concentrated and focused on the remit of the planning department, and that's why there wouldn't be any reference to village or master plans within that. It outlines what the community consultation engagement will be for local development plan and development management, and addresses legislative requirements, and again village plans, master plans wouldn't have a legislative requirement to the same way that the local development plan and development management would do.
But this is the community involvement for the area plan, isn't it, as well?
Yes, the statement of community involvement covers the local development plan, but it says it is solely focused on the local development plan, and its remit wouldn't extend to the village plans, which I understand are obviously there's an exercise underway in terms of reviewing a lot of the existing village plans and bringing forward new village plans, but that is a separate process to the work undertaken by the planning department.
Yeah, many of the village plans are up to date, but those that aren't are being brought up to date. But I'm just concerned, and I'm not going to press this point now, but I would say to you that there was a huge amount of work by councillors in this room and by communities in putting a lot of effort into preparing for the area plan through the medium of the village and development plans.
No, I certainly appreciate on this. There's obviously a lot of benefit in the village plans and master plans, and while certainly the planning department is working with our colleagues who are taking those taking that exercise forward, I would reiterate that this document is very much focused on the work that the planning department does. It is satisfying statutory requirements as laid down in the local development plan regulations and the Planning Act. So it has quite a tight remit. It has to be approved by the Department for Infrastructure. So whilst we're certainly aware that the community consultation is much broader than what is outlined in this document, we need to be careful in terms of the content that we put into it, as it's likely that if we stray beyond our remit in terms of purely land use planning, we would be knocked back by the Department for Infrastructure. But I certainly do take on board your point about the broader nature of the community engagement, and I think it's something we can certainly discuss with other colleagues to ensure that maybe is addressed elsewhere.
All right. Shall I? If anybody else has got anything to say, we'll just adopt the recommendations as suggested by the officer. So we have a section now on communications and marketing, and several, I think three from the same officer, is that right?
Mr. Chairman, yes, the first item relates to communications marketing assignment. Over the next year, the council is going to appoint a number of permanent positions to corporate communications and marketing to help it deliver the services within a very challenging, demanding environment. We have a very small unit at the moment, and there are times when, in fact, that unit is actually swamped in terms of the amount of work that it has to deliver on. So what I'm asking councillors, please, is to consider the contents of the report that I've put forward, and enable me to appoint an external provider to deliver additional advice and support services to this very small in-house communications marketing team at specific times and on an ad hoc basis as and when required for the next 6 months, with the option to extend for a further period if compliant with the Council's procurement policy, by which stage hopefully the staff complement within the communications marketing section will be optimised.
Does anyone want to contribute to that proposal?
Chair, it's just a quick question. I do understand it's a small in-house team, and there is sometimes an overload of work. Is that due to members of the previous two councils' teams moving into a new role, or is it that the two councils previous already had a small team, and given that we're now one, it's greater cost? Also, the budget for this, so I do take in point 4.1 to ensure it's within 17-18's budget. Is that as in a rate budget or as in the department budget that it would be taken out of?
Mr. Chairman, in response to the first question, yes, extremely small team. We had one person in Uri who actually retired at the start of the new council. So, in fact, we were immediately down a person and we had two people in down. At the moment, we're running with one full-time person and another person on a part-time basis. So it's very challenging at the moment with the workload that passes through that unit to deal with. In terms of the second one, I can reassure the council there is budget for it this year, yes, within both the directorate budget and the overall budget, yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Just one question on the back of that. Obviously, we're seeking to have permanent member of staff. Are they currently advertised, or when will that go out for the vacancies to be filled?
I would hope to be in a position to have those positions all filled by the end of the summer.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Regina, just on the procurement of this outside agency, can we make any attempt to ensure that this is kept local?
Mr. Chairman, I have to ensure that I follow and concur with the council's procurement policy. So, I just can't directly target a local person. I have to, I have to fulfil our obligations in terms of the procurement policy. But at the end of the day, that will go out to a number of people, and everybody will have equal opportunity to apply for the position.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, thanks for the report, Regina. And I'd like to take the opportunity to compliment our marketing staff for what they do. They do a lot of hard work, sterling work in promoting this district right across the board. And in relation to, would any of the staff members be employed by an external agency? And if that was the case, could they not be offered the chance of something permanent by using, instead of being AST staff, becoming permanent? Because so maybe they've gained a lot of expertise and experience, and maybe, maybe that could be used to the advantage of the council.
Do you want to
Yeah, we do. We have one current member of agency staff that's in the marketing department. When we go out to recruit the permanent posts, we have to go through the normal mechanisms, under the local government. There are a number of posts, so I suppose we envisage that there may be opportunity for existing agency staff to apply for those posts, but we have to go through the processes as established.
Well, could I note that if there are local suppliers, we make sure they're registered on our system, so if the tender goes out, they can be included. Do we know of any?
It's incumbent on the supplier to register in the system. We don't register the suppliers. It's incumbent on them to come forward and register on our system. I met with the Federation of Small Businesses last week, and certainly they are going, we've given them recommendations to take back to the local businesses in the community to assist them in tendering for work, and we've given them a number of recommendations to make it easier for them to use our systems to get involved. And certainly we've put out the offer through that group to assist in any way we can, but obviously it's incumbent upon the supplier to register on the system.
Well, could I ask the journalists observing this meeting to note that we've had a number of complaints from artists and people involved in the printing trade that our work is sent up to Carrickfergus, and the reason for it is that local artists and printing trade weren't registered under the council system and weren't included in the tenders. So perhaps the press can make some note of that. We can help local businesses.
I can't speak for all of those that you refer to, but certainly I have dealt with some complaints in this area, and the people that I've been dealt with were actually registered on the system and did have the opportunity, for whatever reasons personal to certain parties that I've dealt with, they didn't seek the opportunity. But going back to Regina's additional point, the onus on council is to put all our tenders out in line with procurement procedures, and that is first and foremost what we try to do.
Do you want a proposer and seconder for this?
Yes, please.
Terry? in Wakey. The Rural Needs Act.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There's a new piece of legislation has come into being. It's the Rural Needs Act Northern Ireland 2016, and it's actually going to apply to departments and councils from the 1st of June 2017. And essentially what it does is it means that councils have to due regard to rural needs when developing, adopting and implementing revising policies, strategies and plans and designing and public services. So what I'm asking, please, if councillors would enable us, give us authority, please, to set up an interdepartmental working group to consider what's necessary so that we can identify how best to integrate and implement these new statutory duties.
Okay. You're basically alerting councillors to this. It's something we'll have to do in addition to Section 75 from now on.
That's correct.
Okay. So the Irish Language Strategy Group.
But actually, I'm asking for permission just to set up the. Sorry, I'm asking for permission to set up that working group, please.
All right. Seconder? No, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the third thing then is I'm asking members to note the action sheet which came out of the Irish Language Strategic Working Group meeting held on the 3rd of May and to give consideration to the agreement of the updated terms of reference for the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group and to note the consultation response that we forwarded to Fáil Sna Gaeilge in relation to consultation on the Irish Language Officer Scheme in local government in the North.
Is there any action required from us for this?
Yes, I want you to note the action sheet, first of all, Mr. Chairman, and then give consideration to agreement to the updated terms of reference. I need those agreed, please, for the Irish Language Strategy Working Group. They were changed to read that the membership section of the terms of reference of the Irish Language Strategy Working Group be amended, wherein membership now reads two representatives nominated from the smaller parties, independents.
All right, well, I was there. Who else was there? Terry, you were there. Could we propose and second it? Okay, thank you. The Book of Condolences, I think it concerns the suggestion we should have Kilkeel as well, and it was referred back to here. So, do we have a report on this? Or?
Yeah, Chairman, this was referred again to Gaelin, and this was, it was the original report that came from officers suggested. Two locations in Downpatrick, two locations in Uri, and then when it came to last month's SPNR, they said could we look at getting locations within the east of the district electoral areas. When it was gone to council, the report, the amendment was to include Kilkeel, but when it went to a vote, it was refused back. So I suppose we're back to the position where we are. The recommendation was to go for the two locations, Downpatrick and Uri. But we've suggested a number of other locations on the basis that there's one per DEA. And again, I think the issue is do we go back to the original suggestion, Downpatrick and Uri, or do we agree one in DEA or an amendment to that?
Billy, you're first.
Sure. I'll not say too much on it because it's in relation to Book of Condolence. I know there was a debate at the last council meeting, and it was noted that Kilkeel be included. I would actually make a proposal that we go with what's on here with Kilkeel added in. The reason being is it's a big rural area, so there's a lot of tragedies, and that has happened in Kilkeel over the years. And I do take the point that if a tragedy did happen there, there would be a Book of Condolence opened. But it's a big rural area, and the Moorland Mountains actually splits Kilkeel and Newcastle. And I don't think it's a big ask just including Kilkeel in relation to the Book of Condolence. And I would make that a proposal that we go with one on each DEA. We have the two in Uri, we have two in Downpatrick, and we would have two in the Mourns. So I'd make that a proposal.
Which, obviously, I don't agree with that proposal. And in fact, the full council didn't agree with the proposal, and that's why it's back before us. So what the proposer's saying is that the proposal that he's making is referred back, you know, it was referred back to this committee for a different decision, and we're now going to bring the one that was rejected to the full council. I think we're making a mockery of the committee structures. In my opinion, it was a fair and balanced approach to a decision about giving the best opportunity within, you know, resources. You know, there's resource issues as well about, you know, getting the books out and collecting the books and that. You know, so I just feel this was a fair attempt by the officers to allow one location in each DEA, because it came before this committee originally, and it was Downpatrick and Uri. It was me that referred it back to committee from, or to the officers for more discussion, to give a fair balance right across the DEA structure. And I think the original proposal it did that. You know, so I think people are making issues where there's no issues to be made. I think having a location in the Newcastle Centre facilitates the whole DEA. It's in the centre of the DEA, so it facilitates the whole DEA. So I'm not a supporter.
Okay, we have essentially opposing the status quo, is that right? Yeah. Gareth? We do, yeah. All right. Let Gareth go first, and we'll find a seconder then.
Yeah, Chair, it's similar to Councillor Clark. The basis of locations that are stated there do cover the council area. In point 2.2 there, it does state clearly that additional locations may be added on the request. So it's just clarity on what event or how that request could be submitted to the council. Given if it was a local issue or a local accident, obviously that would be automatically, because he would facilitate a book of condolences. But how would a request be submitted to the council? Because obviously we're going to have to think about that policy side of things, because is it, to me, if there's an accident out in Strangford that a boat sank or someone was killed, how do I submit that request? And is there a facility out there that we can open a book of condolences? You know, you could get a lot of requests here for additional locations very quickly.
Chairman, referring back to the original policy, the decision on where a book, you know, on opening a book and closes is with the chair. The decision on ruling it out would be with the chair in consultation with Miss Anne Buntwood. So, request, what happens currently, we're formalising a current arrangement. What happens is the chair's contacted, the council, the chair makes the call on it. So, on that basis, it's a decision for the chair. For example, the unfortunate tragedy with 116, the loss of the lifeguards helicopter, we supported. Indeed, the chairman wanted to support, I think, in Newcastle and in Kilkee, you know, open a book and condolences there, where we normally open them in Uri. So that's, it's done that there. It's never been an issue. And again, the chair, you know, the chair and myself and again, work closely on that there. So if something did come up in Strangford Lock and it had to be open in Strangford, we would make that arrangement to do that. But again, these are civic. This is not for every. I think sometimes these are exceptional circumstances. Yeah. You know, it's normally for civic dignitaries or a major loss of life, which affects the local community, and that's when it's been done.
Okay. Billy, as I understand it, if there was a fishing accident in Argyllas or Kilkeel, the current policy would allow us to open a book of condolences in those towns. The proposal that's on the table essentially means that if you were in Kilkeel, you wouldn't have to go to Newry or Downpatrick. You could potentially go to Newcastle. Is that what you're... I mean, do we have a seconder for your proposal, I should probably ask?
Yes.
We do. Okay, Robert.
I think it makes more sense, because when you look, there's one book of condolence in Castle Allen, and then there's one in Newcastle, just down the road, walking distance. I don't make a different DEA, but the Mourns, it sounds more sensible to have it in Kilkeel. And I second Philly's proposal.
So, we have a proposer and a seconder. Do we have any other speakers?
I live in Kilkeel, and I don't see any problem at all traveling from Kilkeel to Newcastle. It's only 13 miles down the road. I can't see the problem at all. Everybody's making a big mountain of a molehill here. It's the Mourns DEA, Newcastle standard of it. I say the stick with Newcastle.
All right. Well, if there's a proposal and a seconder.
Oh, sorry, can I?
Mark.
Baron, other spammer in the works now. should we just revert back to the Newry and Downpatrick for the main books of indulgences for the civic dignitaries or whatever ones that you would open, and then for other ones have it a policy just that we'll open one per DEA depending on the nature of where it is, which essentially is what Liam's saying, at the chair's discretion. So we'll get it if it's more centred that it needs to be in Kilkeel, or if it needs to be in Killeigh as opposed to Ballinahinch for Rowallan.
Have you a second up on that?
You know, that's possibly a more sensible approach to it. And as Councillor Clark has said, there is a cost involved in this.
Are you amending with Billy's suggestion, or is this a separate proposal?
Well, if you want to deal with Billy's now, she'll go and make a proposal on it.
All right, we'll take Billy's first. So we have a proposer and a seconder. Move to a vote. To include Kilkeel along with the other seven areas.
Okay, I have a point of clarity. The proposal that we're voting on is the proposal that the council wouldn't accept at full council. And now we're asking the committee to bring it back to the full council.
That may well be the case, but Billy's got a proposal.
No, can I have a ruling from Chief Executive? The
full council made the decision to not accept the report as stood, so it was referred back to the committee. There was no decision making the council, so it basically reversed the position. So we're currently in the position that we were in this time last month at the SPNR, whereby we brought forward two locations. It was suggested we go and look at amendments to bring back to the council one per DEA. We've done that. So what you've got on the table here is the original document, which was proposed in terms of two centres, plus the DEA is included. So it's re-looking at the issue again in terms of, do we want to add Kilkeel into it?
Well, I propose to take a vote on the first proposal and then move on to the second one. So could we have those in favour of Billy's proposal? Yeah, all DEAs plus Kilkeel. And then those against? Mark, have you a second for yours?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, Willie. Pardon me. And you got a seconder, yeah? Okay. All right.
Chair, doesn't a point just before we go on to voting that? See, if we vote on the original proposal, which I agree with, actually, I voted against the Kilkeel being added at the council meeting. If it goes back to the council meeting, that it's 70 years, which actually makes sense, and then it's added on at the council meeting, Kilkeel again, and can be sent back, we're going to run in circles here. So if we put the original proposal to the council meeting, there's nothing stopping the people sitting at that meeting adding Kilkeel again, and then we're back to square one. So do we have to look at a different proposal here?
Chair, I take you back to the report that was presented at the last PNR meeting, said Downpatrick and Newry. It was agreed, subject to looking at adding the DEAs into it. That's what we did. So it went to the council meeting, and the council meeting, there's nothing to stop somebody trying to add the DEAs to the meeting, but there was no decision made on it because the whole proposal was lost. The recommendation of the committee was lost. Now, we can take a decision not to have a policy on book of condolences, and that's probably where you're getting, if it goes back, that's the position you're getting in, and it's just we have an ad hoc position. That, I don't think, is particularly good for the council. I don't think it's particularly good for the chairman. I think the guidance is loose enough to give the chairman as the first citizen a listening onto it. But again, you know, certainly at the council meeting, this is not a decision making body, this is a committee which actually does the donkey work for the council to bring recommendations forward. But yeah, it could be proposed to the council meeting again. Yeah.
Well, I'm proposing to take Willie's proposal, which is the status quo. Willie, is that right? Yeah, 70 years. Yeah. So all those in favour? And those against? Right, Mark, does that mean you're off the table? Yeah. All right. Shall we move on to the request from the GEA regarding crash barriers, etc.? Do we have an expert?
Yeah, this is purely for noting, Chair, and just to advise Council, this is being dealt with under the Director's Scheme of Delegation and in line with Council's policy on supporting events. So just for noting, Chair. Thank you.
Well, we've noted it. Update on Uri Civic Centre. Copy attached. Do we have a report on that, or is it?
Yes, there's a report, Chair.
Oh, yes, sorry, me, yeah.
Again, I probably said apology for Marie Moore, for whose report this had prepared this report. She has a family event tonight, so I'm taking it through. Really, it's moving on. Really, as members of a strategic projects working group, will know that we've been in discussions of bringing the Civic Centre on. We had a discussion regarding the appointment of Deloitte to actually do the work in terms of site selection and the due diligence around the site selection. What we want to do now is put a management and governance structure around that. So I'll just take you through the decisions. So the Council agreed to appoint Deloitte to the Consultancy One framework in the role of procurement lead and development of the outlining the full business case. We want to agree that the Strategic Projects Working Group, which is has been established within the Council, to actually be the project oversight body, political oversight body for it. And then the Council will approve the appointment of a project board membership, which is set out in Appendix A. I don't intend to go through, but I can give the rationale for any of the wishes to question any of that there. We actually use the Strategic Investment Board and their framework for the development of a technical specification. This has been approved by Central Government and CPD, so it gives us a governance arrangement in terms of that appointment. We approved the tender process for the appointment of a consultant to deliver the technical specification and development operation model for the theatre and conference element of the project. So if we want to put that into it, we need to carry that piece of work out onto it. We use Belfast City Council, who we have a service level agreement on, to deliver the legal aspect of the project, to give us legal advice onto it. And that's particularly important, although they're in our service level agreement. Also, they are currently delivering a number of joint ventures in Belfast of a similar nature, so they have the expertise to bring to that there. And we again will use the Strategic Investment Board for the delivery of an internal project management support in the pre-conflict stage. Then really, the resource applications of that there then is really in terms of stationary costs of all elements set out is roughly in the region of about £440,000, which can be capitalised as part of the Newry Civic Centre. So again, it's kicking off this part of it in terms of capital expenditure. So just by way, we will borrow against that loan, so it won't be on an ongoing basis. It will be over the period of the length of the age of the centre, which we have under our new capital assets what's the name? Treasury guidelines, isn't it? I can't think of these names. It's on to it, you know. But it says it's over the period, the length of the building, where we agreed it's like 40 year length of the period. So that'll be capitalised over 40 years. So, Chairman, that's...
Are people clear about what's being proposed? And does anyone want to speak on it before we... Terry.
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to page number 111 to the project board membership. I know, speak from experience, I was in the project board that was responsible for the delivery of the Civic Centre in Downpatrick, and the project board that I was a member of and other elected members at the time, that we were involved in monthly meetings with, you know, the likes of people that you have listed here with officers, contractors and architects, you know, and I'm just wondering, should that not be the formula for this case, that elected representatives would have a hands-on approach to the workings of this project that's going to be delivered in 2 years' time? Apart from that, I'm happy enough with everything else, but it's just the mechanics of this NCCR project board membership.
Chairman, the oversight at elected member level is, in terms of strategic oversight, is through the Strategic Projects Board. So they will be meeting and oversighting the work of the Strategic Board. The Strategic Board, it contains people bringing a level of expertise and especially professional expertise onto it. So that's where you have your solicitor, that's where you have your accountant, that's where you have the Department for Communities who bring that, that's where you have Strategic Investment Board, and that's where you have the directors in terms of from that perspective. So they do the donkey work to bring forward the various recommendations to the Strategic Board, which then will go through council for approval. So it's the working body for the board. Technically, what you had was an oversight board. The board that you were on for the Civic Centre here, that's what the Strategic Projects Working Group will be doing. So they will be looking, giving an oversight to all the strategic projects. So they're currently taking oversight of the leisure centres. People said they're oversighting the Newcastle project and a number of projects. So they have the strategic oversight on that. Gareth?
Yeah, Chair, my question was similar to Councillor Andrews. To me, it seems we're creating a project board for the sake of another project board, and Liam has answered it to that part, but is there a need for two separate entities here, really? You know, you're going to be asking the senior staff members to attend the project board and then ask the senior staff members to attend the project board oversight meeting. Can the councillors of the oversight meeting not just be involved in the project board rather than having two?
They're not two boards. One is a meeting that will meet on a more regular basis. So it can meet on a weekly basis as you're moving the stuff forward. You won't be requiring officers, so the reporting officer, the SRO, who will be reward for the first stage of the project, which will then be Dorina Carver when you go to the development of the project, they will be reporting to the Strategic Projects Working Group on that. The issues in terms of that will be down in terms of due diligence, so and the legal aspect of it. And again, as you see, if the people at the Department for Communities, the structure that we have proposed is the structure which has been suggested to us by the Strategic Investment Board. It's and due in the terms of the number of projects that they deliver for central government and have delivered, you know, in terms of the Titanic project and projects that are there. This is the structure that they recommend as best practice.
Okay. I just noted in the line of the purpose of it is the governance body. I would have thought councillors would be the governance body for such a regeneration project.
Council is the governance body for it. The council is the government's body in terms of where the decisions we made. The issue is it's the management, the day-to-day management of the project in terms of the aspects of the project. It's not in terms of how the project will happen in terms of key decisions with the project. That can only be made at council level, and the members will have the oversight of that there before it comes to council for approval.
Okay. All right.
Proposed and seconded. Did you get that? Okay, so we're on to the non-dissolution of the local government staff commission, which is currently going to cost us.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. You'll see in your packs, obviously, we'd previously been advised that the Northern Ireland Executive had agreed to dissolve the local government staff commission. However, with no executive in place presently, the dissolution order, the legislation did not go through. Therefore, the Commission will continue in operational existence during this next period. The Commission have issued us with costs for the first 6 months. I suppose hopeful that the dissolution order may be in place by October 17. So we're seeking approval to go ahead and pay this first instalment, £14,600, and should there be no dissolution order in place by October 17, the second six month payment of the same amount. Obviously, when we were putting together the rate estimates, we were under the belief that the Commission would no longer exist. Therefore, there is no financial provision in the estimates for this amount.
Just on that, Chair, obviously, given the amount is not within the rates, how are the officers envisaging that we take this amount in extra, given that the rate is now set? is there affordability within the rates and our budget this year to accommodate the extra £30,000 that they're looking?
Well, essentially, we're only in month one. If we can, we will be dipping into reserves for it unless we have a budgetary underspend somewhere else, but I can predict that at this stage, you know, month one in the year. So essentially, because this is not in the budget, we would be dipping into our reserves for that, the budgetary overspend.
And is this something that we legally have to do?
Yeah, we're currently signed up to, all councillors are signed up to fund the local government commission in this way, and until the dissolution order takes place, I suggest that we really have no option other than to proceed.
And if we weren't to proceed, what would happen?
I'd have to take some legal advice on that before I could answer that for you.
Okay.
That's right, it's unavoidable. I propose the recommendation.
Chair, I just wanted to ask a question in relation to the council having to find extra money to finance this. Would the council be liable for recompense at some future date if and when a government is up and running?
It's something that we could obviously pursue. I suppose the difficulty is that because the commission is to continue in existence, we are covering the overhead of that. That overhead will continue to exist. Something that we can pursue. I couldn't answer that at this stage, but certainly we could pursue that through SOLIS.
Mark, any ideas where we can get the money from?
No. I was wanting to ask, are we getting any actual value from it, or can we use them for any need to get some sort of value for our money? And if you answer that question, I'll second Willie's proposal, we accept it.
No, we do use the Local Government Staff Commission, and we use them for a range of activities, and certainly it'll be our view to try and maximise the value for money out of this over the next 6 months. Obviously, they prepare a lot of the documentation, etc., which we use within council. So certainly, that's something that we'll be actively working with to try and get value for money out of this payment going forward.
Any your comments?
Sure. Picking up on what Councillor Anders has said, I think we should be pursuing it. To get this money back, because time and time again, everything's dropped into the laps of council when it comes to money, comes to funding and finding money for different things. And it's always the poor ratepayer out there that has to fit the bill. You know, whether it's taken out of reserves or where it's taken, it's still ratepayers' money. So it is. And yes, it maybe can't be avoidable in that there, but if there's any chance of trying to get this back and clawing this money back, I think we should be trying to do it. So we should. You mentioned there, the director mentioned SOLIS. You know, we should be trying, because every time something like this happens, there'll be something else through in their lap in 2 or 3 months down the line, with a debacle up in the hill, to be honest. And we're picking up the bill and picking up the tab every time, so we are. And I think enough's enough, to be honest.
Well, can I just observe, as Chair, that we have a proposal to take it forward, but I would say that what you're saying makes perfect sense, that the organisation that caused the difficulty should pay for the loss, and I think it would be in order for us to request management to see if they can seek the funds back, even if we get a no. But we do have a proposal from Willie, I believe, could we amend your proposal, Willie, to say that we will seek the inevitable, but let's write in. And
I'm happy enough for us to go away and do that without amending the proposal. That's something which we'll do.
All right. And you'll report back to us on the action list then.
Yep.
All right. Can we go with Willie's proposal then?
Yes.
Grand. Right. We have no power up here, so the computer's gone. So, on the paper.
Item 12, the lease of the booth space from the Palace Mall.
Yes. This was a proposal, if I recall. It came before us about 7 months ago with Eddie Curtis. I think it's primarily the boathouse that the Cutter Club in Carlingford uses, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So
Thank you, Chairman. As you've alluded to, the committee previously considered this matter in October 2016. At that meeting, it was agreed that the council would continue to lease this building, which is seen as strategic to any future marina development, and that it would seek to negotiate a rental in relation to the new lease. It was also agreed to undertake an expression of interest exercise with regard to subletting of the building to a third party. The council's valuer and the owner of the building have now negotiated a rental in the sum of £4,000 per annum for the first 2 years, with a rent review after 2 years. The conditions to be similar to the previous lease, but with the part of the council to sublet to a third party. The expression of interest exercise has been undertaken, and the successful bidder was Carlingford Curragh Club. So the report is seeking approval to enter into the new lease and to carry out the necessary legal formalities in relation to a sublease to Carlingford Curragh Club. Thank you.
Could I just note that I'm a member of the Down Coastal Rowing Association, and I believe the Curragh Club has subsequently joined the Down Coastal Rowing Association, so I think this is, I would have to declare possibly an interest. Right. I know this is the one that you all look forward to on an annual basis. The annual debt write-off, we have, I think, a list of 31.
We're into closed session.
Pardon?
We're going into closed session.
All right, okay.
So the note that the motion item 13 has already been withdrawn, and we've had a proposer and a seconder for that.
So all right, so I think there's a bold words I have to use, is there, for going to closed session?
Yeah, on your agenda there, so we'll find them.
Okay. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including council, holding that information. We have a proposer and seconder. Okay.
Before I read it out, can I okay. There's a lot of it, isn't there? There's changes.
Yes.
I will do my best. Yes. All right. No problem. Just before I start this field, it's quite long. For those of you who stayed until the bitter end, thank you very much for being on this committee this year. It's been a pleasure. Hope I have done right by you as chair. No, not at all. But thank you very much for your input over the year. Anna, all the best. Item 14. Annual debt write-off agreed in the proposal of Councillor Ruan, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, to approve the debt write-off list as at 31st of March 17, contained in Appendix 1 of the officer's report, with the exception of those debts highlighted by the committee, which should be pursued further in an attempt to recoup payments. Further agreed that Council's policies procedures be reviewed to take account of situations where grant aid may be payable with reference to the possibility of recoupment taking place prior to payment of funding by Council. Item 15, option for gas at Down Leisure Centre, agreed in the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Clark, to note the content of the officer's report and to approve the recommendation to proceed with switching to natural gas as the fuel source for the new Down Leisure Centre. Mr. Lipset to provide clarification to Councillor Mernon on matters raised relating to the cost of gas tanks. Yeah. Item 16, RTS Director Recruitment. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Ryan, to note the contents of the officer's report and to approve the recommendations at power 3.1 regarding interim arrangements for engaging a director on an interim basis pending open recruitment for this appointment. It was further agreed to appoint the members previously involved in director's recruitment for the permanent post, that as they have previously been trained, that is Councillors Casey, Craig and Devlin, if agreeable. If not available, a similar gender community background member be approved and trained if required. Item 17, site for New Down High School, Downpatrick, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Walker, to agree to proceed on the basis of the recommendation contained in Para 3.1 of the officer's report in relation to the disposal of council land at Strangford Road and Coyle Quay, Downpatrick, to the Education Authority,
with the Education Authority to cover the Council's legal costs in relation to this transaction, and endorsement of the Education Authority's mitigation strategy in relation to two old graveyards. Also agreed to advise the Education Authority of Council's request to be kept updated on the future of current school sites. Item 18, Strategic Projects Working Group minutes. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Clark, to approve the recommendations contained within the minutes of Strategic Projects Working Group minutes of 25th of April 2017. Item 19, Tender for Legal Services for Murnery and Mourne District Council. Agreeing on the proposal of Councillor Mernon, seconded by Councillor Doran, to approve the recommendation contained in paragraph 3.1 of the Officer's Report relating to an investigation by the NI Public Services Ombudsman into a matter involving the former Murnery and Mourne District Council.